please. Don't ask me what I did this weekend. Just don't. Just don't.
Well, this is good coffee.
I don't want to talk about it.
Very good coffee. I wonder what kind of grounds they use.
I don't want to talk about it. Don't ask me.
How was your weekend, Duke? Good. Good. Good coffee. Thanks. Very good.
Would you please ask me about my weekend?
No.
That's what I'm trying to get to.
Okay.
Why don't I say what I mean?
Martin?
Yes, I'm trying to make a little entertaining
what did
little
you do this
skit
weekend?
For the radio.
What did you do this weekend, Martin?
I looked at a terrible church sign.
Really?
Yes, I have gone free. I made a pact with my eyes years ago that I would not look at church signs because they're evil. I've never seen one that made sense except for the one that said rummage sale Saturday.
Nice.
Let them stick with what they know. The church knows rummage sales and ice cream socials, but they don't know scriptural truth. So it made me so crazy to read crazy stuff about God. They're talking about my father. This one sign, I remember, it was in the middle of the summer, and the sign said, "You think it's hot now?"
Oh.
Sign God. You know, they put God's name under it. And I walked past this thing every day, and I committed civil disobedience.
You did what?
I committed civil disobedience.
And what did you do?
I would walk past this church at like 4:30 in the morning, and I thought, I'm just going to steal all these letters so these people can't defame God. It's for God! I'm doing this for God! People are going to get the crazy idea. Do you think it's hot now? In other words, where do you get to hell? Or I'm really going to heat it up for you. So it really aggravated me. They're talking about my father.
Yeah,
and I got really ticked off. So I thought it's worth it. And then I thought, no, Paul says, you know, be subject to the authorities and all that. But I had to do something. I walked past this every day. So one morning, 4:30 a.m., I decided I'm going to act.
Oh, no.
So I went and I took God's name off it. It was one of those little yellow daisy signs.
Yeah.
And so they had little plastic things. So I took God's name off it.
Okay.
I left the stupid saying on there. You think it's hot now? I just took the byline off and laid it on the ground. The next morning, it was back up.
Yeah.
I took it down again. The third morning, it was back up. I took it down again. I figured eventually they're going to stake somebody out behind a bush, and they're going to find me at 4:30. And the headline's going to read, Martin Zender arrested, you know, defacing church property.
Oh, brother.
But anyway, they eventually got the message. I think they thought an angel was doing it. I think they thought it was a miracle. It's like, oh, my gosh, there's a spiritual being that doesn't want us to have this stupid sign up. So I took it off. Anyway, I got to tell you about the sign that I saw
tell
this
me about
weekend.
The sign.
Since you're so anxious to hear,
I'm dying to hear about this church sign. I got nothing else in my mind but that.
It's good.
Well, what is it? Spit it out.
I can't remember. It said, "Is the road you are on? Will the road you are on lead you to heaven? Will the road you are on lead you to heaven,
brother?"
The whole topic of that was you. Well, the road you are on, and that's the concern of most Christians,
you.
Is what am I going to get out of this?
Yeah.
I'm either going to go to heaven or hell, and so that's all I care about. Just what do I have to do to get to heaven? What do I have to do to avoid hell? And
the very question makes you look at yourself.
That's right.
It makes you look at what you're doing or what you're not doing. It's not a good news sign at all. And secondly, there is no scripture that talks about somebody being on a road to heaven.
Follow the yellow brick road.
Oh, yeah, follow
the yellow brick road.
Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Is that how it goes?
That's all copyrighted.
Yeah,
we just broke the law. But
well,
that shouldn't bother me.
But there is no passage of scripture. And this is the thing that I think more than anything is irksome. And I think Paul pointed this out in his letter to Timothy that in the subsequent eras, the time in which we're now living, that I'm actually going to read this. It says here in 1 Timothy 4, "Now the Spirit is saying explicitly that in subsequent eras, some will be withdrawing from the faith." And how are they going to be doing this? "Giving heed to deceiving spirits and teachings of demons." Now, Paul here is not talking about the world. He's not talking about the senators and representatives in Washington. He's talking about those who are naming the name of Christ, those who go under the banner of the Christian religion. Paul's not warning us about how unbelievers are behaving. He's telling us about how those who name God's name will behave. And it says they're going to take heed to deceiving spirits and teaching of demons in the hypocrisy of false expressions.
And where else are you going to find false expressions except in the religious
realm? Well, listen to this. Hypocrisy of false expressions, their own conscience having been cauterized. In other words, they're going to use these terms like, are you on a road that leads to heaven? And they're not even going to think twice about it. They're not even going to think whether they're asking the right question or whether this is a question God has asked in his scriptures. And so we're living in a day where these church signs, these bumper sticker theology, we're giving such a false idea about God. And like you pointed out, I like the way you put it earlier, that somebody was misrepresenting your father. If somebody misrepresented your earthly father and spoke evilly of him or misquoted him, you would be on him in a minute. And yet those today who name the name of Christ are using these false expressions, false terminology, false teaching, and giving a total misconception of the God of the Scriptures.
And actually, they're the only ones who can really screw you up on it, because those who the ones who purport
and they
to
are,
have the
they,
truth.
Yeah, they are. Who are the they?
The Christian religion.
The Christian religion.
Because,
this is important.
I mean, you can't get screwed up about God listening to a Led Zeppelin song.
No.
Or you can't get screwed up about God watching the NFL.
Nope.
Or drinking a beer. Or going to a bar. Or going to the square dance.
Exactly.
You cannot get screwed up about God. Where you get screwed up about God by those who purport to be teaching you of God and yet twisting God. Claiming that God would say something so petty and inane as, you think it's hot now? Wait till you get to hell. I'll really fire it up for you people there. And again, the whole premise of this question, will the road you're on lead you? It focuses on you, and it overturns Paul's main concern in Philippians. I have that verse here. Let me find it here. Paul, in Philippians 2, verse 10, his desire of his heart was to know him, to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, conforming to his death. Our quest is to know him, not just to get to heaven. Like I said, people will just tell me what I need to do to get to heaven. And you want to say something, because I got another big point to make on this.
Before I want to make a comment, we pointed out, because I want people to realize that the rebukes in Scripture are always directed to those who name God's name. The prophets in Old Testament Israel spoke to God's people, and Paul is warning us about those who take God's name. And I'm going to read you something. This comes from the Companion Bible. E.W. Bullinger said this. He said, the history of Genesis 3, because Satan's first, what was Satan, the adversary's first comments recorded? They were directed to something God said.
Yeah, God.
Right? Satan didn't tempt Adam and Eve in the garden with lust or anything like that, or beer. Listen to Bullinger. He said, the history of Genesis 3 is intended to teach us the fact that Satan's sphere of activities is in the religious sphere and not the spheres of crime or immorality. That is, that his battlefield is not the sins arising from human depravity, but the unbelief of the human heart. We are not to look for Satan's activities today in the newspaper press or the police courts, but in the pulpit and in the professor's chair.
Wow.
Now you hear that?
Because that's where you're going to get screwed up about God.
Exactly.
Unless you're listening to this show, and the reason you're not going to get screwed up about God is because, Dan, you and I, we don't have a church board that's paying us to toe the denominational line. We're freelancers. We don't answer to anybody.
Except God.
Except God. We can believe what we're reading in the Scriptures without having to worry about a paycheck. You listen to us because we're free and we're able to speak our conscience, to study the Scriptures, to tell what is on our heart, what God gives us. And if we ever stop doing that, God help us, but we will never allow ourselves to be compromised by any kind of church board or money or anything like that. And as soon as you're a professional, as soon as you become a professional clergyman, you are beholden to that system. If the system makes you, the system can break you. But the system has not made us. It's God himself that has made us.
Now let's correct that church sign, shall we?
Which one?
Let's correct it now. First of all, the only thing that could be remotely close to that church sign is a passage found in the Gospel of Matthew where the Lord Jesus is speaking in Matthew 7, where he talks about a path that leads to life. That is the Lord Jesus speaking on earth to his disciples, Jewish disciples, regarding the kingdom that's going to be on this earth in the millennium. A Gentile is not being addressed, and the subject there is a place in the kingdom, not going to heaven.
But that's where they get that,
and
right?
They get that because they're misapplying truth. Not only, but notice what they do. They're getting it from there, but they're twisting it even. See, when you don't correctly cut the word of truth, you either ignore or modify Scripture. And they modified it. They took something about a path, which they can get from Matthew 7, and then they inserted heaven into it. And when the Lord Jesus talked about the kingdom of heaven, it was an actual place on this earth. You can get it by going to Google Earth and find exactly where the Lord Jesus was talking about. Go to Google Earth right now and look up Jerusalem. And the Lord Jesus, when he talked about a path leading to life, it's in Jerusalem.
So the cramped gate, the harder of death. It's harder for a camel to enter the eye of a needle.
Now notice the word cramped and hard. It has reference to the kingdom on earth, and the Jewish disciples have to go through hell on earth to get there. When the oncoming time here, this time coming on earth, Jacob's trouble, and what we find it in the book of the Unveiling, we're going to see this man of lawlessness on earth and all the stuff they have to go through.
So the whole question is wrong when they say, is the path you're on lead to heaven?
Yes.
Heaven meaning where the stars are, where the planets are. That's a whole different ballgame.
Exactly.
I definitely want to get into that. I can see we're not going to have time.
We're going to have, but let's leave these listeners with something important. There is no question on what path you're on in the Scriptures. All sinned and are wanting of the glory of God, according to Paul's evangel. But the good news is that to him that does not work, Romans chapter 4, Paul says this, to the one who does not work, yet to him who is not working, yet to him who is not working, you're not on any path for justification in a place in the celestial realms. You're not doing anything. To him who is not working, yet is believing on him who is justifying the irreverent.
Well, we are on some kind of path.
We'll talk about that another time. But okay. Here's the point. We are all of sin and are wanting of God's glory, and God justifies you as you are, where you are. You don't have to change paths. You put your faith in Christ, and even that faith is a gift of God.
What path are we on? Do we have time to start that?
No, we do not.
We don't?
No.
All right, I'm going to write that down. We got to get that tomorrow.
We do have something coming up for those of you listening. And by the way, welcome to our new listeners and Chattanooga, in Huntsville, and in Tupelo. Hey, birthplace of Elvis. How about that? And who else we got here? Huntsville, Alabama. Did I mention that?
Yes.
Augusta, Georgia. Mm-hmm. So thank you for listening there. But we are having a conference, aren't we, coming up here.
And thanks to everyone listening on the Internet.
Internet, too. And again, thanks to Debbie in Anchorage.
Debbie in Anchorage, she's still with us. We're going to be in Chicago.
September 18th through the 20th. Yep. Go to paulsevangel.com. That's my website. This is Dan Sheridan. You go to paulsevangel.com, and you can see the conference information. Come join us in Chicago, and we hope to see you there. And by the way, if you want to keep this program running, you can help support us either through paulsevangel.com, or you can send us some help at P.O. Box 421, Round Lake, Illinois, 60073.
And we also accept Subway gift certificates. Thank
That's right.
You.
Martin, what's your website?
Subway.com?
No.
Oh, martinsender.com.
All right. See you tomorrow.